I mean, there's going to be bad news sometimes, and things aren't always going to work out the way we'd hoped, but bad news doesn't get better with time. So I do think that being open and honest and transparent with my partners and frankly, my employees, you know, lets me sit in a place of trust. So that's number one for sure, is don't run away from bad news.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to SaaS Connect Day 2. My name is Amy Gorman. I am Vice President of ISV and AppExchange Sales at Salesforce. And I have to say, this is the first time I've done this in a really long time. It's cool. It's a little weird. And I've also never been in a room with so many peers and partnerships before. So I'm very humbled and honored that you all are here today to hear a little bit about my journey, starting in direct sales and into alliances management and some of the lessons that I've learned along the way. I'm going to share with you a lot of the changes that we've gone through and start with talking about our values and how those values have really helped guide us through a lot of those changes. But first, before I get too far in, I do have a quick forward-looking statement for you all. Please make buying decisions based on currently available product. And more importantly, thank you. I want to thank you all for being here. To our customers and partners and prospects, thank you for your support over the years. And, you know, again, this is the first time I've done this in 2.5 years. And I want to thank you all for being in the actual room with me, because it's really nice to be together again. So thanks. So values have been a part of our core culture since the very beginning. And for the past 17 years, they've been part of my DNA. Trust is our number one tenet. It is cornerstone of who we are and what we do. That means trusted business relationships. That means a reliable and secure infrastructure. It means data privacy, and it means open communication. For me, trust didn't start at Salesforce. I truly believe that trust is something that is required for any type of relationship of any size, any kind, whether that's a personal relationship or a family relationship or a business relationship. So I get a lot of comfort knowing that Salesforce really does base our business on this core fundamental value. So customer success is the lens at which we look to make decisions. And I've told this story before, if you've heard it, but I'll tell it again, because I think it illustrates what I mean. I guess it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was managing the consumer goods and retail vertical for our ISV group. And the distribution lead had a kickoff. So we all got together. It was about 80 of us. And she said, okay, let's line up by tenure. And so the newbies were way down at the end of the line and the old timers were way over there. So I walked down the line with the old timers. And then she promptly put us on the spot and said, tell us how you've been so successful for so many years here at Salesforce. And I thought, oh, great. And there were a lot of things I could have said, but what I said and what is true is I said, if you make decisions based on customer success and partner success here at Salesforce, you'll never be wrong. And what I mean is you can make mistakes, but you won't get in trouble. And it's true. And it's really what's guided me and allowed me to be innovative, which is our next value. Because if you feel trusted and you feel comfortable and safe in taking risks, you can take risks and you can be innovative and you can have a beginner mind. So dovetailing into that, though, is equality. And we know we can't be the most innovative company unless we embrace equality. Because we need diverse decision-making. We need different points of view at the table with us making decisions for how to solve problems. Finally, there's sustainability. So this one is, obviously, we're in the middle of a climate crisis. And I'm so proud that Salesforce has decided to become a leader and really lead the charge as a corporate sponsor of this issue, because it is touching all of us every day. So when you think about our values, the beauty of these values is we share them with our partners and our customers, and then they share their values with us, and it actually creates a connection, and we become more deeply connected. And so connection, let's talk about that for a moment. It has been difficult to be connected over the last few years. I mean, we've been through something we could have never imagined. We've been through so much hardship and change, but we've also seen so much transformation and innovation in such a short period of time. It's really incredible. And now we're dealing with new challenges, we're dealing with new channels, we're dealing with new regulations and stakeholders that we've never dealt with before, and truly just new expectations. And when I think about it, it's not a new chapter for business. It's really a whole new playbook. And when I think about the companies who are on the bleeding edge of transformation, digital transformation, like all of you, I think we've been able to pivot into this new normal because we are transforming. We are pivotal transformation companies, and we're bringing our customers along with us over the past 2 years. So the way Salesforce thinks about that is the customer 360. So the customer 360 really is enables our customers to create a single source of truth and a digital transformative customer experience across their sales, across their digital marketing, across their service, and across commerce. So what does that mean? It really means if you're going to go meet a customer, you're going to email a customer, or you're going to pick up the phone and call a customer, all of those touch points are in one place and they're easy to access. And what that helps is it helps with loyalty, it helps with growth, and it helps with a highly personalized customer experience. And the good news is that we do this now across any size customer and across all industries. So you'll notice there's a few new things here on our wheel, our customer 360. Since the last 2 years, we've had to add some things, some new innovations. One is sustainability, which is allowing our customers to work toward net zero emissions. Another is health and safety, which is really enabling our customers to deliver personalized care and services really anywhere. And third, and definitely not least, is Slack, which is really the digital headquarters. It's enabling our customers, our partners, employees, and systems to all connect. And this is all happening on the number one platform. It's also where our partners are developing through the App Exchange on this number one platform. And I will say, we couldn't be where we are without our partners. The partner ecosystem has fueled our success for the past 15 years. So let's talk a little bit about that. For 15 years, we've had the App Exchange. Currently, we have 7,000 apps available on the App Exchange, 150,000 certified consultants. We also just passed 10 million installs. I think that was a month and a half ago, which was a huge milestone for us. But what I love is that 91% of our customers use AppExchange apps, which is just incredible. And if you look at this chart, you'll see up to the right, some of the largest companies in the world are using not one, not 10, sometimes over 20 apps to fuel their Salesforce success. And we know, you know, today we're still recruiting partners, we're enabling them and supporting them, and we're improving the App Exchange. So I want to tell you a little bit about the new App Exchange. So we are reinventing the App Exchange, starting with a new design system. And this is not just for the marketplace, this is across all Salesforce web properties. And what it means, it's going to be more intuitive and modern. And we already have App Exchange homepage as an example of this. It went live last month, and we're just so proud of it. So that's happening. We've got intelligence coming, which will make things more highly personalized and smarter. We also have search and discovery coming, which will make relevant results come to customers more quickly and easily. And then finally, for our partners, we have a new publishing console, which will make things easier and more flexible. So let's talk a little bit about our program. So this is what's happening with the App Exchange, but this is the program that we all leverage. There are really four values that we think about when we talk to our partners. The first is customer success. It's a theme. And customer success really is we're looking to our customers to help create customer success with our joint customers. And we value that. And we measure that. The next is innovation. So as you may or may not know, we have 3 releases a year of our product. We also add components for our partners to leverage new innovation. And we look for our partners to leverage that innovation. Third is growth. This is near and dear to my heart because this is what a lot of my teams do, focused around go-to-market and helping our partners win and winning together. And then fourth and final, but last but not least, is impact. So we do work with our partners to help them on their social impact journey. And together, all four of these make up what we call our Trailblazer score. And this is how we measure our partners and how we think about the services and the benefits that they receive. And what I love about this model, as opposed to some others that we've had, is that it really does democratize. It's not just about revenue. So smaller partners, the partners that are doing the right things, can also really benefit from the benefits of this program. So I think that's kind of an overview of what's going on with Salesforce, the App Exchange, and our program. I was going to change gears for a few minutes and talk about my journey. I've been with the company 17 years, and I'd just like to tell you a little bit about how that's gone and some of the lessons I've learned. So let's start at the beginning. So I joined Salesforce in 2004. I was an account executive. There were about 500 people at the company. ish. And our entire sales floor was on 7 Landmark global sales team. So I think my territory was, it was all of Utah, half of Colorado, and part of San Francisco. It was a really exciting time to be part of this innovative but very scrappy company. We were competing with the 800-pound gorillas, the SAPs, and the Siebel. They had very robust SFA solutions. And, you know, we were kind of the underdog. In 2006, I took a job leading a sales team at the same time the App Exchange launched. And what was so interesting about that and what was so game-changing was we as salespeople could suddenly expand our solution set. We weren't, we weren't defined by SFA tools that we'd built today. We could start extending and actually having best of breed technology partner with us. And what we realized, and I think what Mark realized, was that customers want choices. And we were able to give them choices with the App Exchange. So fast forward a few years, my now husband proposed and we got married at Cavallo Point. Beautiful, great spot if you haven't visited. And I got moved to Ohio. I'm from here. So it was a bit of a shift. And I took a couple of months off. And in 2009, I started looking for a job. And I don't know if you all remember 2008 and 2009, but it wasn't the ideal time to be looking for a new job. Salesforce was trying not to let people go, honestly, at the time. So I was looking in direct sales, which had been my career up until this point. And this alliance job came to me. It sounded interesting. And so I jumped in. So in 2009, I joined the alliances organization. The program was very different, but the mission was the same, which was supporting our strategic partners for growth. And then in 2010, a gentleman by the name of Ron Huddleston, his picture is up here, was hired from Oracle to reimagine our entire program. And this was a really exciting time because, believe it or not, nobody had really OEM'd a cloud technology before. So we were like writing the contracts and trying to figure out how to operationalize it and trying to figure out the monetization and the P&R and revenue share, all while it was like riding the bike while we're putting it together kind of situation. But it was really exciting and we worked through that. And then I was asked to take on the healthcare vertical. And I said, well, I don't know anything about healthcare. So okay. And he said, we'll figure it out. And so I said, okay. And so Veeva was our largest partner. I took on Veeva as well as the whole healthcare space. And, you know, it was really exciting too, because I got to work with our chief strategy officer and also a physician who turned to tech and strategy. And the three of us were out running around. We were actually trying to build an EMR, electronic medical records, in the cloud. So we did that for a few years, built out the ecosystem. I went and had a baby. His name is Andrew, in 2013. Took a break, 5 months, came back, and my boss said, okay, I want you to go build the manufacturing, automotive, and energy vertical. And I was like, but I don't really know anything about that. And he said, we'll just figure it out. I said, okay. So I did that for a few years. And the only saving grace is my husband is in manufacturing, so I had a little leg up, but generally it was hard, which is kind of the theme here. I had a lot of newness during this part of my journey. So I did that for a few years. Then an Accenture partnership popped up where we were rebuilding a consumer goods and retail solution. And it was more of a program management, project management type role. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I did that for a few years and I got to know GSIs and Accenture, which was very interesting, and consumer goods and retail. So yeah, I had this like really interesting journey learning all these different verticals and building out the ecosystem. Then once again, we had change. In 2018, an old friend and our new leader, Mike Wolf, joined our organization. Mike had come from 7 Landmark. He was one of the original salespeople, and he is now our global lead. At the time, my son was in kindergarten, and I said, you know, I think I'm ready to start managing again if you'll have me. And so he said, yeah, let's do it. So I started working with three or four PAMs, onboarding product-related ISVs, really for industries. Super interesting. And then a year later, Mike said, hey, why don't you take over these teams? They're all horizontal and it's all go-to-market. And I was like, but I don't know anything about this. These are all new partners. And he said, yep, go figure it out. So I did. And that's what I'm doing today. I have two teams that do go-to-market for our highly growth and high strategic partners. Love every minute of it. The partners are amazing. It's about 300 partners. And then this year, I took on another team managing all of our inbound North American leads. So companies who are interested in becoming partners and are early in their journey and helping them get through their contracting and get on the path to building a product and into market. So I get to work with early stage partners again, which is super, super cool. So that's where I am today. The best part about this job, other than the partners and the technology, is the people. I have the most amazing team. Some of them are here in the room. And the word that I think of when I think of Salesforce is blessed, because I have some of my best friends from this company, but I've done some really amazing work and I get to work with amazing people. So my takeaways or my truths from all of this is, again, stay focused on customer success. You're not going to get in trouble if you're doing it for the right reason. Start with a beginner's mind. Be okay with not knowing and just dig in and figure it out. That's what Google's for. Lots of acronym Googling. And, you know, the only constant is change. If we can, you know, Salesforce is changing constantly, but the world is constantly changing these days. So I feel like you can get comfortable with that. You can have a lot of fun. So anyway, that's my time. I just wanted to share that with you. So thank you. I guess we could do questions if anyone has any.
Hi, Mark from Unido. Thank you for sharing your story. And you mentioned Trailblazer scores for kind of rating partners and also working with some of the earlier and younger ones. Do you have any advice to share with us for going into the marketplace and how to stand out when you don't necessarily have the same clout as everyone who's already on the marketplace?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So the Trailblazer score is meant to help partners who are newer in the ecosystem, because if we're just measuring revenue, there's partners that have been on in the ecosystem for 15 years. So it's not really a perfect measure. So the things that we really care about are things like customer attrition and customer satisfaction scores, AppExchange reviews, things that we can measure that we know that you're delivering success. So when we advise our partners, when they're starting their journey, number one, you have to have a good product. Like that's just obvious, right? But you'd be surprised. So make sure the product works and that it does what it's supposed to do. And then it's really about having a solid message and some people who can work with our sales teams and our partner teams to catch the ball. Because a lot of times what we find is that companies want to get engaged with our sales teams, and we have 10,000 sellers. So you don't want to start that tidal wave until you're ready. So we think a lot about getting our partners ready for that and what that means. So it's essentially let's crawl, walk, and run and not try to boil the ocean right away. But that's what my teams help a lot with, because we do work with early stage partners. Some of them, it's their first year in market. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
Oh, hi. My name is Uday. I spent 5 years at AWS and now at a startup now. So different world now. Question, as you went through your journey from ISV sales, I know that you're leading ISV sales, but how about technology integrations? Are they part of the same team or is that a separate team that's handling that?
So most of the technology integrations, you mean just like API integrations, right? So most of those are handled through our team. We have a couple different ways of handling it. We have actually three parts of our program. So there's ways that we can address it from a licensing standpoint. The idea is to use our packaging to protect your IP and then go through security review, because again, trust is our number one tenet. So we have to security review anything that's plugging into our system. But there are other teams at Salesforce that do some very strategic partnering. That strategic, that word is so overused, but it's a different type of partnership. Like AWS would actually be an example of that, because it's not, you know, we're building on your platform. So that's a different type of technology partnership that's handled out of another group. But for the most part, when companies want to integrate with our platform, they would work with our teams. And we offer different ways to do it so that it makes sense. Anything else?
Of course, I have to ask another question. Hi, Amy. Good to see you.
Nice to see you too.
How does by the way, I loved your journey and congratulations on what you guys are doing with the AppExchange now. How does the Heroku marketplace fit into the overall strategy in the AppExchange?
Oh, that's a good question. Jeez. I don't know if I know him. I was like, my team is laughing. You guys want to come up here and help me with this? No. It is an ever-evolving, that is an evolving process right now, because Heroku marketplace, it's very different than the rest of the AppExchange. The idea is that we are melding to have one AppExchange. Literally, that's the title of the project, is one AppExchange, where we will have all of our products available. And frankly, widgets and other things you might want to buy all on the AppExchange. So we're in process, but today they are still separate, the process.
Hi, Alex Buckles here. You mentioned having a lot of different strategic partners and co-selling relationships. So how do you, with so many sales reps and so many partners, if I'm an enterprise account executive and I'm trying to close, you know, a large net new logo, how do I know which partners to start out with? And how do you educate that rep on which partner is going to add the most value? And then how do you stay on top of those co-selling activities and ensure that that deal is well supported?
Yeah. So the way that we are structured now at Salesforce is we're created more around business units at this point. So there's not a lot of like general selling. I mean, we do have core salespeople, but you think about it as like the healthcare team. We're really verticalized. So the first thing is this a healthcare application opportunity? And then the RFP would be coming to a technical person on the sales team. And we educate the technical people first to make sure they understand what types of solutions we offer for patient engagement or, you know, whatever it is. And then we also can put these solutions into the demo orgs so that they can actually build out those solutions and show with the right apps. Now, to answer your question, if there's multiple apps that do the same thing, that's tough for us because we are Switzerland in that way. We'll be very specific about the use cases and what they've done and how they've been successful. But ultimately, the customer has to make that decision on what's going to be best for their company. We can help suss out the opportunities and the different apps, but we wouldn't lead in making that decision. We want the customer to do that. We give them options. That makes sense. Oh, and there was one other thing. So the way that we stay on top of it, we do, that's part of our job, is to kind of shepherd that, make sure that we're tracking that and that once they're usually partnered together and working together, it's fairly simple because the enterprise rep's like, all right, come on, partner, let's do this. It's not hard to manage. But if there is an issue, sometimes we have to get involved. So
thank you so much for this talk. I couldn't let you go without asking this question.
Yes.
You mentioned trust so many times as part of the culture of Salesforce. I know because I hear it from all of you privately. Like this role is a very high risk, high anxious job. And so many partnership people don't feel that culture of trust where they work. What are the tips that you can offer about how to create that culture of trust at Salesforce? What are they doing? Because that's something maybe we can all look forward as a vision in our careers to create that around ourselves.
That's a great question. Thank you. So this is going to be coming from me. And I think you could probably get many answers from different people at Salesforce. But I think for me, the way that I maintain that trust is that I don't run away from the hard discussions. I mean, there's going to be bad news sometimes and things aren't always going to work out the way we'd hoped. But bad news doesn't get better with time. So I do think that being open and honest and transparent with my partners and frankly, my employees, you know, lets me sit in a place of trust. So that's number one for sure, is don't run away from bad news. But I also think the other thing is I advocate for, again, my partners in the company. So if I see something that doesn't feel like it's partner first, I'm the first one to stand there and say, hey, trust is our number one tenet. Let's not forget that. Now, part of it is I've been there 17 years, so I can be a little bit of a squeaky wheel and I'm very comfortable kind of standing my ground on those things. But that's why I've stayed for so long, because I can make a stink and they're like, oh, yes, she's right. And I've used that and stopped some things that shouldn't have been going on pretty quickly. So I think you have to be comfortable in having that voice and saying, no, like if trust is our number one tenet, that's not okay. And I've had to do that and I'm still here to talk about it. So I guess so far at least. But those are two things. Hopefully that helps.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you as always to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.